Hello, my name is Ellie Pittman, and today I'm interviewing my dad, Frank Pittman.
Hello.
Okay, so Dad, I'll start off easy with you. Would you share some of your earliest childhood memories?
The earliest memories I have were building igloos in the snow when we lived in Denver.
Oh yeah, I forgot you lived in Denver.
And we would on weekends go hiking in Rocky Mountain National Park. My dad loved to hike. So those are some of my earliest memories.
Wow, I've never built an igloo.
Yeah, when we had, before global warming, when we had big snowstorms, we would roll large snowballs. And my dad would build these kind of snowball wheels, and then we would stack them around. So it was open on top. But we had a little door and had a little wall, so we would climb in, and that was our play fort for the weekend.
Wow, I love that. So I guess staying on topic with childhood, what was your childhood like?
It was mostly calm. My dad, being a research physician, wasn't making a lot of money, so we had to drive places rather than fly places. We did some flying back and forth between Atlanta and Denver, but with two sisters, we got along pretty well, and we learned how to create our own games.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those games that you would create?
Well, we had cones, which were kind of a hard cardboard cones that my grandfather used in the cotton mill. And we had just stacks of them, so we would have cone battles, and we would build cone forts. And they were not quite as big as a Nalgene bottle. And, you know, we would play, you know, ping pong and go outside, play in the creek. So we did a lot of playing in the creek. And we had a neighborhood full of kids. And so we would, you know, get together and play and ride bikes. As I got older, through elementary school, had a smaller but tighter group of friends, and a lot of afternoons we would go to one or the other's house and play in the woods, and so we were outside a fair amount, so we didn't have video games, and there were only three TV stations.
Right.
And so we would run outside and play, and everybody's mom had some sort of cowbell that they would ring to let you know when it was time to come in.
That's funny.
So that's how we did it.
Yeah. That, other than the cowbell, that sounds a lot like how Frank and Knox grew up with the neighborhood kids. I feel like that's a classic.
Yeah, you have your buddies and you go outside and play.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess two questions that are kind of similar but are also different.
Mm-hmm.
But how has your life been different than you imagined? And then the next part of that is, if you could go back and change anything, what would you change and why?
Well, first off, going through college, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. Had no clue. So I started studying physics and math because I did pretty well in those in high school.
But even
in
high school, I don't like physics.
Even in high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I took a bunch of APs, took a bunch of history, took Latin because nobody told me to take a language that was more useful, like French. Would have loved to have taken French. But I took a little bit of wood shop, metal shop, architectural drawing, and enjoyed that process. wasn't really available to me in college, or I didn't pursue it.
At Washington and Lee?
Yeah. And I knew I wanted to run in college, and so I did a lot of that, and not a whole lot of studying. I should have studied a lot more. So that was a... if I had a do-over, I would do that again.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that some before.
Yeah. But not knowing what path that I wanted to take, I didn't talk to enough people about, you know, what about healthcare? What about engineering? What about something else? So I ended up pursuing finance, economics, and accounting. I hated accounting. I hated being in public accounting, but it was the job that was available.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up getting my master's in taxation, which is part of accounting. Was that fulfilling and enriching? Not terribly. There's so many things that if I look back on it, I would rather do. But it's by working so hard over the last, 20 some odd years in my professional career, it's given me a lot of flexibility. So I've found the fulfillment and enjoyment in that, because it's opened different doors for me, even though it wasn't something that I wanted to pursue.
Right. Well, it seems to be working out.
Yeah, it's working out okay. It's working out okay. I should have consulted more people on what's available and had a better idea of what different doors could be opened.
So when you were growing up, or in like high school or middle school or even in college, was there a teacher or an adult that really impacted your life?
The one that I probably enjoyed the most was at Oglethorpe. The economics professor, old guy, and he was with my dad at Washington and Lee undergraduate. He may have been a couple of years behind my dad.
Oh, I didn't know Chief went to Washington and Lee.
He was class of 56, and I was class of 85. But Shropshire, when I transferred down from Washington and Lee, saw that I was from W&L. He was like, W&L guy. Frank Pittman, I knew a Frank Pittman there. And he was my favorite undergraduate professor of anywhere that I went. And I had some fascinating classes with him. One was the history of economic thought, which you're going through all the great economists and, you know, different strategies. And
sounds riveting.
What works and what really doesn't. But I enjoyed that a lot. So I considered being an economics professor and cross-country and track coach at some small college in a cool part of the country. I thought that could have been my path.
Wow.
After dealing with William Shropshire. So I had several classes with him. So he was helpful. There was another guy, a thoracic surgeon, friend of my dad's and my uncle's, who, when I got hit by a truck in a pro bicycle race.
Wait, which time was this?
This was after college, when I was living in Boulder.
So this was the first time you were hit by a truck biking?
First reported time.
Got it.
And he said, Frank, what you need to do is you need to move back to Atlanta. You need to get a job. There are more jobs here. and marry a nice girl, and you'll make enough money where if you want to go out to Colorado and ski, you can pay for going out to Colorado and skiing all you want.
Well, that worked out well.
And it did, yeah. So Frank Ferrier, I still keep up with him.
Well, I'm sure you must need to.
He's a good guy. And it was a piece of advice that, looking back on it, was a path to take. Not necessarily the right path, but it's a path that's worked out fairly well. Interesting nugget of advice.
Yeah. Definitely created some options for you.
Yeah. But it taught me something else. That the importance of consulting with people who have pertinent experience.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a ranch in Montana.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a hell of a piece of property. So it's worked out okay for him.
Yeah.
And he wants us to go out there and visit, but the problem is, with y'all being in school, there's just, you know, how do you fit it in?
Well, you can go next year.
I don't think we won't.
I won't hold you to it. Okay, well, speaking of accomplishments,
mm-hmm.
What do you think is your greatest accomplishment? Your greatest accomplishment?
May have been marrying your mom.
Aww.
May have been learning how to parent.
So both family related. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, when you think about what's really important in life.
Yeah.
It's not your golf handicap. You know, your mile time doesn't define you.
No.
It can create opportunities.
But it does not define you.
Exactly.
That has taken me a long time to learn.
So if you're going to think about something that defines you, passing the CPA exam just sucked. It was horrible.
Yeah, I've never heard you say a good thing about
But it doesn't that. Define me.
No.
You know, it's not something that I'm going to, you know, shoot up a flare and say, hey, I'm a CPA.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Hey, you did graduate from that Yale class.
I did.
Which was pretty impressive.
With, after the health issues I've worked with through last year.
Yes, yeah.
And still dealing with, it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did it. Doesn't define me.
No, but it's something you should be proud of. Especially, because it was all online and you had shingles in your eye.
Yeah, and I had limited vision.
Yeah.
But in terms of what's defined me?
Not defined you. What do you perceive as your biggest accomplishment?
And that would be something that,
okay,
you know, sets the kind of tone of accomplishment. Being a parent. Enjoying being a parent. And watching the three of you go through your successes and failures. I've tried not to be an overbearing parent.
I appreciate that.
But to, you know, open the door and let you choose whether or not to step through. The only thing that I've made y'all do is swim team.
Oh my gosh, I did not like swim team. But I'm glad you made me do swim team.
But, you know, for y'all to become proficient swimmers, what else did I make y'all do? Frank had so many interests that some things that we said, all right, if you're going to start something, we're going to finish it, like getting his Eagle Scout.
Right. It's probably the same thing with Knox. Not interest, just if you start something, you must finish it.
Yeah, Knox was, it was a, you know, different set of challenges. getting him through. You know, Frank went to, you know, went off on this raging start. Knox was more even-tempoed. But we both got it in just barely under the wire.
Yeah.
Biggest accomplishment. Staying employed is another big one.
Yeah, that's impressive. Good job, Dad.
Because I've been doing what I'm currently doing for 22 years.
Had a job at
one firm for 5 years.
It's almost as long as you've been married.
My previous firm at for 15 years. And we made the transition to our current firm 3 years ago.
I didn't know that you were at Bank of America Merrill Lynch that long. That's a long time.
And yeah, joined them in 2003.
Nice.
Biggest accomplishment, selling my practice 3 years ago.
Yeah, that was big.
That was a pretty big one.
Yeah, that was really big.
But getting the practice to the point where it was saleable.
Yeah, that's was,
you know, 2 decades of work.
You're just so impressive.
but it was, it's not one of those things where, hey, we started a company. We got a business plan. Let's sell it. It was,
yeah.
you know, 20 years of grinding. So I've had a few.
So I've heard your first date story with Mom a little bit, but would you describe, would you describe how you met Mom and then your first date with her? Because I just think that story is really fascinating.
I had just moved back to Atlanta. So I could get a 10-inch steel plate and 13 screws removed from my right arm.
Right.
My left ankle was in a cast followed from a rock slide outside of Moab. So I looked great, right?
Always do.
Yeah. Right arm in a post-op cast, left leg in a pre-op cast. And Ginger had just moved back from New York.
Your sister.
My younger sister. 4 years younger. And we went to have lunch with Aunt Julie, who had fallen off of her bicycle on vacation in Maine.
It must just run the family at this point.
She had torn up her leg, and my uncle, her husband, was a cardiologist, but not a wound management physician.
Right.
And being a, you know, pro triathlete and pro bicycle racer, you learn how to manage road rash wounds.
Yes, pretty quickly. A good job at that.
So I had a kind of elastic gauze tube bandage to hold the 4x4 bandages on her wounds. And a couple boxes. I was going to take it to her for lunch and have lunch. And I met this slightly hungover, a beautiful gal.
Mom.
with big glasses and huge brown eyes behind them, and all of a sudden I was just smitten. It's like, okay, this is the girl I'm gonna marry. This is something special. And she came bouncing up. Hi, my name's Gaby, and Aunt Julie just loved her.
Who doesn't?
So I was able to track her down, get her phone number, call her for a date. And before my first date, I had to drive over to Cross Creek Apartments to break up with the gal who I was dating, who I knew I did not want to marry. And we went out to a Italian kind of pasta place in Buckhead. And I told her, because I was still recovering from anesthesia and head injuries and all kinds of other things, I must have told her the same story a dozen times.
Yeah, you do that a lot.
Yeah, indeed. And then we went to see Thelma and Louise.
That's a great movie.
And it was filmed, you know, near where I crushed my left leg.
I like how you associate things to your accidents.
And yeah, it's, you know, I schedule everything out based on major injuries. And she must have thought that I was quirking and goofy and no short-term memory.
Still working on it.
And slightly unemployed.
Slightly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was as I was just beginning to get my footing of, you know, what path do I want to take in life?
Yeah. And Mom, she worked for Aunt Julie, right?
With Aunt Julie.
With Aunt Julie.
Mm-hmm.
And that, she wasn't in Atlanta plastic surgery yet, was she?
No, she was at Scottish Rite. And okay. They were helping manage the foundation at Scottish Rite.
Okay. Whenever I tell people, I'm like, oh yeah, my parents met in the hospital. They're like, oh, classic Pittman.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
No, would expect nothing less.
We actually met in the hospital.
Yeah.
Or one of the hospital office buildings.
Yeah.
And she was a year or so out of college. Went to Davidson. And coming from Thompson High School, it kind of beat her up a little bit.
Yeah.
So she wasn't as prepared as she thinks that she could have been. You know, had she gone to an Atlanta school or somewhere right. else. But, you know, Thompson High School is just what was available to her.
Yeah.
So our first date, we went out to a restaurant, had a good time. I was much more awkward than I am currently.
That's surprising. That's hard to do.
Yeah, it really was. Mm-hmm. I was just a mess. But I had fun.
That's good.
Had a really good time. And she accepted a second date.
Surprising.
Yeah. Surprised me. let's see, that was June of 91. It's on Valentine's Day, 92.
8 months later.
I asked her to marry me. And so we set up a December 92 wedding in Thompson.
That was a quick relationship.
And as an engagement present, I got a settlement from one of the crashes I was in.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought her a house.
Aww.
As an engagement
present. I didn't know that your crash was the that's funny.
So it allowed me to buy her house. And as a housewarming gift, I gave her a belt sander.
Well, now, was this really a gift for yourself?
Yeah, so I could do the kitchen floor for her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. And you've been fixing up the house you live in ever since.
Fixing shit and cleaning up your brother's crap.
Yeah, that the latter will be never ending.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So
I had not heard the version where Mom was hungover that morning.
Yes.
That's indeed. Funny.
So that's how I met your mom.
What are your hopes for me?
For you?
Mm-hmm.
More than anything, I want you to find a path that is fulfilling. You know, I'm less concerned about the money for you to cover your living expenses, but it needs to be sufficient.
Right.
You know, for you to pursue a pure volunteer lifestyle. It's, you know, you're not going to be able to cover your utility bills.
No.
But I want you to be safe, and I want you to enjoy the work that you're doing, and for that work to have its own opportunities.
I think we have the same hopes for my...
Yeah, so I'm not going to say, yeah, I really want you to be a, you know, waste management engineer or an architect or a doctor or a lawyer. Doesn't matter to me as much. Because some of those professions have higher divorce rates, higher drug addiction and alcohol abuse rates, you know, higher incidence of suicide, depression, you know, just the list goes on. But you need to find your own path that works for you. And I don't know what that path is going to look like.
I've always appreciated how you and Mom both, you never really pushed things on me, but you always allowed me, you always offered me guidance and the freedom to figure out what it is that I want to do. You never pushed running on me. That was something that I found. Mm-hmm. Right. I didn't find
I'm
it.
I'm glad you found it.
I kind of followed in the footsteps in that, but it took me a while to make it my own path, but once I did, it wasn't really the running aspect that was my own path. It was because I took on a different role in the team. Like, mm-hmm. this year and last year, I wasn't running. I was just there. I became a team mom, yeah. which is something Frank and Knox, I mean, they were always the top runners.
So they hadn't had the opportunity to lead like that.
Right.
So you made it your own.
I did.
And you found your path in it. But what you gained from that is not just, you know, the running and mile time is who you are, but it's how you incorporate that into your lifestyle.
Right.
And Frank's beginning to find that.
Yeah.
And you found that earlier than he did.
I think, yes, I did, but I think that last year when we all went through our different kind of running things, but it was mm-hmm. at the same time. I think that was because we all started running at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it just had gotten to the point for each of us that we were just like, oh, we need to take a step back and see if this is what we want. And I mean, Knox is still going for it, but Frank and I, it just...
Well, Knox still feels that he has something to prove.
Yeah.
And Frank's... he kind of proved it his freshman year in college.
Yes.
And then the injuries
mm-hmm.
you know, sucked him into the ground. And those are some dark times.
And now I realize I have nothing to prove. I mean, not like I have nothing to prove, but like I don't have to prove anything to anyone.
Exactly. Yeah, it's okay. And what Knox is trying to prove is he's proving it to himself.
Right. Right.
And that's good. That's a good approach.
Is there any... On the topic of your hopes for me, is there any advice or wisdom that you would like to share with me now?
Talking to people about their experiences and people who have recently gone through them and people who went through them some time ago. So, you know, when you look at people your age and then a couple of years older, you know, how did certain decisions and experiences impact them? How did they enjoy it or not enjoy that experience? And then look farther down the road, you know, 10, 20, 30 years of people who have experienced similar things and how that's impacted them. But you got to talk to the adults and the people who are older to gain an understanding of what may work for you.
I really like that advice. I feel like it's not something that you've said, but it's something you've expressed that I've just picked up from you. But I don't think we've ever had a discussion of...
Mm-mm.
But I just know to do it because I've just followed you.
Yeah, see, I spend all day talking to people.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do that.
And it's kind of fun when you can not necessarily be an expert, but be experienced in something that they have a need.
Right.
And, you know, we've got people who are you know, very aggressive investors to very conservative, and people all across the political spectrum. And you've got to be able to respond in a way that they're going to receive. So it's, in some ways, a two-way learning experience, where I'm learning from the people that I work with, and they're learning from me. And I've got to make sure that I don't make big mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, we can kind of tack back and forth as long as we're making progress to goal. But it doesn't have to be, you know, every week, every quarter, every year. You know, as long as we're making progress. So, but, you know, consulting experienced people.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I like it.
And okay. The more experience and the more diverse experience, the better.
I agree. I totally agree. Okay, I have two more questions for you. First one, what is your favorite memory with me, or of me?
Our trip to France last year, 2 years ago.
Oh, yes.
Was awesome.
Even though you got shingles.
I didn't know that I had shingles for 2 weeks.
No.
So that's okay. But that was a great
trip. That was
trip.
Such a and fun trip.
You were such a good traveler.
Thank you.
And, going to the Calanques.
Calanque,
outside of Marseille,
mm-hmm.
was huge fun. The restaurants in Nice was just, that was probably the best trip I've ever been on.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm so
it was
glad.
Really good.
You know why? That was also one of the best trips I've ever been on. And I think because at the end of the week, I had just kind of given mm-hmm. up on my summer mileage.
Well, and earlier in the year, we had gone to Rome and Florence.
We had. For
which was another good trip. It was much faster paced.
Oh, it was, yeah.
But we got a ton of stuff in.
We did. It was also shorter.
Yeah. So it was, 7 to 10 days
mm-hmm.
rather than a couple of weeks. But having a couple of weeks, you can kind of settle into the activities.
Yeah.
But we did a lot of things that really surprised me. And your mom did a fantastic job.
She's the best at planning trips.
And she would call the concierge at the hotel and like, all right, where do we have dinner? What's really good? And we went into it with a budget. We destroyed the budget.
We went over there to visit Knox, of course, in his study abroad, but I love how...
Oh, he was there?
Mm-hmm. I like how we were able to... Knox and I went off on our own, and
mm-hmm.
you and Mom got to go off on your own, but then we, came back together, and,
mm-hmm.
that was fun.
Kind of compartmentalizing different trips, different experiences.
Yeah.
So, totally do that again.
Oh, definitely. All right. The last question is, is there anything that you've always wanted to know about me, or a question that you have for me that you've never asked that you want to now?
What do you want to share with me?
What do I want to share with you? No, that's not how this question works. You gotta ask me something. I don't know.
I just asked you something. How could I have been a better parent?
Okay, I got this one. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I think you and Mom are such a perfect balance of, because Mom is just an angel. She's the sweetest person.
She gets it done.
She gets it done, and you...
Without being in your face about getting it done.
No, yeah. It's like, you don't even have to ask her. Well, okay, I have to ask her a couple times if she forgets, and she loses her phone a lot, but, I don't know. I think... for all of the times Knox, Frank, and I are like, oh, Dad is so annoying. It's just who you are. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't change who you are. Because then I'm able to have conversations with you like this, where it just keeps going on and on. I mean, sometimes that's not what I want, but...
Okay, so how can I be less annoying?
But that's, like, it's not... You're not annoying. But, okay, it's just... You just find me at times, like, after practice when I just have been a mom all day.
Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of work, isn't it?
It's a lot of work, yeah. Yeah. But I think on what matters, on the important things, like you allowing me to be myself and to chase my own dreams and not forcing me to do something that I don't want to do, or forcing me to do something so that you can live vicariously through me, or any of the sad cliches that are some people's realities. Mm-hmm. I think you gave me a safe home, and Frank Knox and I, we watched you and Tina and Ginger, your sisters, we watched your relationship with them, and I think that's why the three of us have such a good relationship.
Mm-hmm. Because the three of y'all are going to be taking care of us soon enough.
Right. Nursing home.
Yeah. Senior living center.
No, but I don't... There isn't anything that I would change about who you are as a parent or how you raised me. Because I think I was growing up, going to a public elementary school, I mean, I was exposed to a lot of things. Not, I don't mean that in a negative connotation, but I just mean I have just views of the world that not everyone at Marist or that I associate with has, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I
see the world as a series of paths, and not all the paths are clearly defined.
Right.
And, you know, some parents say, this is how you do it.
Right.
And they have a much more restrictive view on what's right and what's wrong. So black and white versus shades of gray. And I'm right. Much more of a shades of gray guy.
Yeah. Ooh. Anyways, but you let me succeed on my own. You let mm-hmm. me fail on my own, but you were always there if I needed help or to take me to the emergency room to get stitches.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem. But not getting, you know, fired up about, oh yeah, stitches, it's just part of the deal.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you want stitches or staples?
I don't know. There isn't... Yeah. There isn't anything I would change about the way you parent.
Thank you.
Do you have any last question for me or anything?
I've really enjoyed this time.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Very proud of the young woman that you have become.
Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what lays ahead for you.
I'm proud of you too, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
You're welcome. And thank you for listening.